tonight, I was led to teach on healing, and the specific topic is the brokenhearted. So the title of the message is, He Came to Heal the Brokenhearted. And as most of you know, maybe you don't if you're only tuning in on Wednesdays, but anyway, our beloved Pastor Sarah went home to be with Jesus on July 4th. So for many of us, there will be a huge void in our lives because of the role that she played in this ministry for so many years. And on a personal level, I have known Pastor Sarah since 1980 when I started to attend the church in their living room. And we were privileged to have her with us all these years. She was a godly woman who was very transparent with her personal life, giving us an example of how to live the Christian life. So she shared the good, she shared the bad, and the ugly, including her suicide attempts. She was very transparent, open with us on everything. But through it all, she stayed focused on Jesus. Her love for Jesus never waned, and she always gave God the glory all the time. So each of us can reflect on the impression or impressions that she made on us individually and how our lives were changed for the better. I can personally say that if it wasn't for this ministry, for Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, I wouldn't be here. And I mean that. And I don't mean standing in this position. I mean I'd be 6 feet under. So when we start today, let's open with Psalm 147, verse 3. And I'm going to read it in the King James first, and then I'm going to read it in the Passion. Psalm 147, verse 3. And it says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And in the Passion, it says, He heals the wounds of every shattered heart. So that's what we're going to delve into tonight. And I want to kind of take some of the scriptures and tear them apart. So let's go to, first of all, Isaiah 61. We're going to start with that, Isaiah 61. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. I'm going to read it first in the New King James and then in the Passion. So just remember now, these scriptures that we're going to read here, this was Isaiah talking about the Messiah and his coming and what he would be doing. So in the New King James, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. The Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. To comfort all who mourn. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us today. He comforts people who are mourning. To console those who mourn in Zion. He comes to console. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. We want God to get the glory in everything. You and I are those trees of righteousness. I'm going to go into that a little further. But listen to it in the Passion, starting at verse 1. Passion 1 to 3. The mighty spirit of Lord Yahweh is wrapped around me because Yahweh has anointed me as a messenger to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the wounds of the brokenhearted, to tell captives you are free, and to tell prisoners be free from your darkness. I am sent to announce a new season of Yahweh's grace and a time of God's recompense on his enemies, to comfort all who are in sorrow. To comfort all who are in sorrow, to strengthen those crushed by despair who mourn in Zion. To give them a beautiful bouquet in the place of ashes, the oil of bliss instead of tears, and the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Because of this, they will be known as mighty oaks of righteousness, planted by Yahweh as a living display of his glory. So these verses describe the ministry of God's anointed, the Lord Jesus Christ, as healer and messenger of freedom and comfort. It describes what God's ministry means to the nations. So Jesus came with this intent to heal the brokenhearted. The word anointed in Hebrew means meshach, Mashiach, and to anoint means to rub with oil, especially in order to consecrate someone or something. Remember in the Old Testament, whenever they were anointing the kings or the high priests, like Aaron, when they came to be set apart for their offices that they were to stand in, they would anoint them with oil. And the most important derivative of Mashiach is anointed one, as Jesus was and is promised anointed one. His title came to be Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua Mashiach in Hebrew, okay? And Messiah was translated into Greek as Christos, thus today, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the Anointed. It's Christ is not his last name, by the way, because many people thought that was his last name, but it's not, all right? It's Jesus the Anointed. So Isaiah was talking about Jesus Christ and what he would do. So now let's look at what Jesus said. So let's go to Luke 4. And I'm going to read from the King James Version, Luke 4, 17 to 21. Luke 4, starting at verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." The gospel was preached to the poor that you don't need to be poor anymore. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. Now let me stop for 1 second there and explain that. Recovery of sight to the blind. This is both natural and spiritual. It was recovery of sight to the blind for those that were physically blind. We see that in the scriptures. He healed the blind. But also those that were blinded spiritually. They had a veil over their eyes and they didn't see him as the Messiah. So it's both ways. To set at liberty them that are bruised and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now, this is the same scriptures that same chapter, a couple verses down, they were ready to throw him over the cliff. Amen? So let's look at the same scripture verses in the Passion. I'm going to start this one at verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to be hope for the poor." Jesus is hope for the poor. Freedom for the brokenhearted. Freedom for the brokenhearted. And new eyes for the blind. And to preach the prisoners, you are set free. There's many people in jail who've been set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's many people out of jail who are in prison. And I'm talking about mental prison. He says, "I have come to share the message of Jubilee, for the time of God's great acceptance has begun." After he read this, he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the minister, and sat down. Everyone stared at Jesus, wondering what he was about to say. And then he added, "These scriptures came true today in front of you." These scriptures came true today in front of you. So we see that Jesus had the Spirit of the Lord on him with the anointing to bring healing through the gospel. Jesus taught the word and people got healed. We see it throughout the scripture. He would teach and they'd be healed. He would teach, they'd be healed. Faith comes by hearing through the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The more we hear, the more our faith builds. Now in verse 18, we see that Jesus declares that he came to heal the brokenhearted. So we're going to look at this. Anytime a person is in bondage to something, they need to be set free. Everything in scripture talks about Jesus setting people free, delivering them. The Passion says, "Freedom for the brokenhearted." The word brokenhearted in Greek, when it's translated, it depicts a person who's been shattered or fractured by life. It's the picture of those whose lives have been continually split up and fragmented. Let me repeat that. Brokenhearted depicts a person who has been shattered or fractured by life. It is the picture of those whose lives have been continually split up and fragmented. I often think of people that come back from war, and they've come up with the diagnosis, the PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, okay? And people who've experienced war in some different parts of the country, things that they have seen, they can't even talk about it. It's so traumatic. It's so devastating. The word heal here, when you talk about heal the brokenhearted, it means to set free or to loosen from the detrimental effects of a shattered life. It means a release from the destructive effects of brokenness. In other words, although there is every reason to experience and feel brokenness, the anointing that is on Jesus Christ is more than enough to release you from its adverse effects. So people, there's some people tonight, I know by the Spirit, you're listening, and you maybe didn't know Pastor Sarah, known as Mom. Maybe you've tuned in for the first time, and maybe you have just connected with the ministry by mail. Maybe you saw some messages online, but you never really met her or had that relationship with her, okay? And so you might be going through a situation and have a broken heart for something totally different. So this message is for you tonight. It's for anybody experiencing a broken heart. So even though you were once broken by life, the anointing of the Holy Spirit has the power to restore and release you from this captivity that has held you in emotional bondage. Webster's dictionary says broken heart means complete despair or disillusionment, devastating sorrow, especially from disappointment in love. Brokenhearted means burdened with great sorrow, grief, or disappointment. Grief can take on different forms and produce different symptoms, none good. And I'm sure some of you may have heard there's something called broken heart syndrome. And it's actually a physical condition. You can look it up. But the first time I heard about it was back when Debbie Reynolds passed away. And her daughter died first, a couple years ago. Her daughter died. And then within, I think, 24, 48 hours, Debbie Reynolds died. And it's an actual physical condition. The most recent one I heard about was when we had the Uvalde school shootings, and there was a woman that was killed. She was a teacher. And when her husband, within 24, 48 hours, was devastated by this, he had broken heart syndrome. So it is thought to occur, this syndrome, when the left ventricle may be stunned and unable to function because of a surge of stress hormones after the patient experiences a severe emotional or physical trauma, such as death of a loved one or an automobile accident. This syndrome usually resolves quickly, but in rare cases, it can be fatal. So we want people delivered and set free from a broken heart. In Isaiah 61, we're going to look at verse 2, we also see the word comfort, to comfort all who mourn or are in sorrow. Anytime someone has lost a loved one or experienced something devastating, they need comfort. In the Hebrew, comfort means console, extend compassion, sigh with one who's grieving, and to repent. Naham is the Hebrew word, N-A-C-H-A-M. It does not describe casual sympathy, but rather deep empathy. It's like weeping with those who weep or sighing with those who sigh. Sometimes having someone with you brings you comfort, and they don't even have to say anything. They can just be there, hold your hand, hug you, okay? And it's comforting, and people need that. We see the word also, console or consolation, to those who mourn. And console means to comfort, encouragement, exhortation, to speak soothingly to one. So you go to visit someone who's lost a loved one, and you can sit in silence. You can say something or not, but you're there to help them through a process that sometimes is very challenging. We also see the word strengthen is used in the Passion, and it says to strengthen those crushed by despair. I think one of the worst things anyone could ever experience is the loss of a child. They always say, you know, no parent should bury a child, and I totally agree with that. And the loss of a loved one can absolutely crush a person. And I believe this is talking about like oppression and depression that one can feel after a loss. It is like having somebody drop a ton of bricks on you and you are immobilized. You become frozen or numb and you're just devastated. And that's what can happen. Crushed by despair. But with Jesus, you can be strengthened to say no and not allow any thoughts or of oppression or depression to take hold. We know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And sometimes we just have to put the hand up and say, no, I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going down that path. Jesus defeated the devil. And when people experience loss, this is an opportune time for him to come in and mess with your mind, your feelings, and your emotions. He will use this event to get you stuck in the muck and mire. He'll even invite you to your own pity party. He'll set up a pity party for you. Just push the envelope. Keep going. Please be alert to these tactics. Be alert to them. There's the phrase in these scriptures, beauty for ashes, or a beautiful bouquet in the place of ashes. And this is simply that God has the power to change and move things around in our lives to make them into something beautiful, like Romans 8:28. The oil of joy for mourning. The Passion says the oil of bliss instead of tears. Oil of joy denotes that which expresses joy and happiness. Oil was employed on occasions of festivity and gladness. Remember, oil was used to anoint those that were separated for the calling in their lives. Oil of joy can also be oil of rejoicing. So when there is mourning, rejoicing is the answer. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness refers to discouragement. People grieving and dealing with a broken heart are often discouraged. We are to replace the discouragement or heaviness with the garment of praise. Heaviness is also known as the spirit of failure. Heaviness comes from a root word that means dark, dim, obscure, colorless, gloom. So this is exactly what Jesus came to deliver you from and set you free from. The power of worship-filled praise will cast off oppressive works of darkness. Let me say that again. The power of worship-filled praise will cast off works of darkness. So if we have seen that happen in the ministry on many occasions. Praise and worship will break the bondage off of people. We start into praise and worship, and you can sense the presence of the Holy Spirit present there. And all of a sudden, people are being edified and lifted up, and things change, and healings can occur in their physical bodies. But mentally, there can be a lifting of any oppression and depression. So we've seen that happen numerous times. Psalm 75:10. I'm going to read it only from the Passion Translation. Psalm 75:10, it says, My praises will break the powers of wickedness, while the righteous will be promoted and become powerful. My praises, it needs to come out of my mouth. Amen. So if you're experiencing a broken heart and grieving, put on some praise music and let it minister to your heart. Anointed music will help lift that spirit of heaviness. There's the phrase that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. The Passion says, because of this, they will be known as mighty oaks of righteousness, planted by Yahweh as a living display of his glory. Okay, so oaks of righteousness points to godly, spiritually mature people who will know the righteousness of God and walk in it. Know the righteousness of God and walk in it. Jesus, the tree of life, multiplies himself in us so that we become trees of righteousness, and then a tree becomes a forest. A tree becomes a forest, okay? We are known as trees of righteousness. Every one of us that's been born again, we immediately become righteous in the sight of God. So we are planted to grow. We are planted to do good works. Amen? And give God the glory. Our planting, our workings, our doing things is to always display his glory. Now, Pastor Clinton and Sarah Utterbach planted the word of God in us so that we could flourish and multiply into a forest. We know that all the different lives that were touched by this ministry, the many extensions of churches around the country, the world, okay, they left us their spiritual DNA. Thank God. They left us their spiritual DNA so that we can continue not just be the tree, but become a forest. So Jesus said that we are to minister to the brokenhearted. So within the body of Christ itself, there are individuals who are hurting and they need help. Many times the body of Christ is ministering to the world. You go out on a mission trip, you talk to your neighbor, you're ministering to somebody if you go to the grocery store. And many times the body of Christ is hurting itself. So what I'm referring to tonight and basically talking about is that we have a situation here where we need to take care of our own. We need to take care of our own. If there's individuals in this part of the body of Christ that are hurting, we need to minister to them. The body of Christ will be useless to others if they themselves are brokenhearted. Body of Christ isn't going to do anybody any good if it's a mess. If I'm a mess, I'm not going to be very effective for somebody else. People grieve differently and for different lengths of time. We all have our own ways of dealing with loss. My brother-in-law passed away a year ago, and the anniversary was Monday, the 11th. And in my family, or in my sister with her husband and so forth, it was, you don't talk about it. So I called on Sunday, and I was talking to her, and I said, you know, tomorrow is the one-year anniversary of Jerry's passing, and silence. And I thought, if you want to talk, you want to, you know, share something, but she wasn't interested. And even my nephew, I sent him a text, and So some people don't want to talk, and for them, it's not therapeutic. And we need to be sensitive to those who are having challenges and yet deal with it differently. It is possible to reach a place, even if you are surrounded by people who are believers, where you are under so much pressure and the hurt is so great that you cannot help yourself. You need the body of Christ to reach out to you. RLCC has the Grief Share program that can provide help, and I encourage any of you who need this extra help to attend these classes. Take the time to heal. Take time to be with the Lord and let him do what he came to do. He came to heal the brokenhearted. And as we wash ourselves with the water of the word, we will experience the freedom from every negative emotion, thought, or feeling related to broken heart syndrome or any other illness. Let's look at Hebrews 10. Going to look at verses 19 and 22, Hebrews 10, and I'm going to read it first in the New King James. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our bodies washed with pure water. We wash our bodies with the water of the word. The word. Ephesians 5, 25 and 27. 25 to 27. Same thing talking about washing with the water of the word. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So we wash ourselves with the water of the word. If you have "It is written for my healing," and you're going through a tough time, read it daily. Read it 3 times a day. There's no side effects. You can't overdose on it. Okay? You will be washing yourself with the water of the word. Speak it out loud. Let's turn to Jude 20. Jude 20 and 21. I'm going to read it first in the New King James, and then I'm going to read it in the Passion. Excuse me. Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So to build yourself up, you've been devastated with evil report, negative situation, broken heart. You need to build yourself up. Come out from underneath that. And one of the ways to do that is praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. In the Passion, it says, "But you, my delightfully loved friends, constantly and progressively, build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit." By praying every moment in the Spirit. So one of the things that will help us get out of this is praying in the Spirit. We want to be able to continue to carry out the Great Commission because we have a lot of work ahead of us. So let's turn to Matthew 10. I'm going to read verses 1 to 8 in the Passion. Matthew chapter 10. And this is where Jesus is giving instructions to the disciples. Verse 1, Jesus gathered his 12 disciples and imparted to them authority to cast out demons and to heal every sickness and every disease. Let me say that again. He gathered the 12 disciples and imparted to them authority. We have this authority to cast out demons and to heal every sickness, every disease. Let's go down to, he lists the 12, but let's go down to verse 5. Jesus sent out the 12 with these instructions. Don't go into any Gentile or Samaritan territory. Go instead and find the lost sheep among the people of Israel. And as you go, preach this message. Heaven's kingdom realm is accessible, close to touch. You must continually bring healing to lepers and to those who are sick, and make it your habit to break off the demonic presence from people and raise the dead back to life. Freely you have received the power of the kingdom, so freely release it to others. That's our job. Set the captives free. Jesus left us here with the authority, the power to do what he started out to do and train us to do. So since Jesus already opened the prison door, we simply need to walk through. Just go through the door. In conclusion, let me just summarize these things that you can do if you're experiencing a broken heart. Pray in the Holy Spirit as frequently as you can, whenever you can. Wash yourself with the water of the word. It is written for my healing, or any other healing declarations that you may have. You may have some that you prefer that are better, different. It can't be better than the word. The word's the word, okay? But Read whatever declarations of the word you can, so you wash yourself with the water of the word. The third thing is consider attending the next grief share. I believe it's coming up in August. And then fourth, don't forsake the fellowship with other believers. We need to encourage each other. We need to be encouragement to each other, okay? Because the body of Christ is should be here, and we are here for each other to help each other get through this time. It's important. And we don't want anybody to be left behind. We don't want anybody that's out there on their own feeling that nobody cares and nobody is interested, when in fact we do care, and we care about the body of Christ and our local portion here, those that are home here. Tonight, I would like to pray for anyone who needs healing from a broken heart. And as I said, you may be watching this for the first time. You may have been struggling with oppression, depression for years, and you haven't been able to shake it off. And tonight is your night. So I'm going to be saying a prayer, but I just also want to say that I want to reach out specifically to the RLCC family and this congregation, and not leaving anybody else excluded from this, but I specifically also want to pray for Rose Roper, who devoted so many years of her life to Pastor Sarah. Rose, to me, is the perfect example of demonstrating the love of God. I also want to pray for Pastor Sarah's family, our pastors, and the leadership of RLCC. So just bow your head with me. Heavenly Father, you sent Jesus to come to heal the brokenhearted. We qualify. I ask that your healing anointing fall on us as we continue the grieving process and provide comfort, strength, consolation, joy, and anything else needed to experience the healing of a broken heart. Bring wholeness to everybody listening. Not just a physical healing. We want wholeness in the emotions. We want feelings, our emotions healed, whole, and restored in everyone that is hearing this message. Bless Rose beyond her wildest imagination, Lord, above, beyond what she can imagine or think. Strengthen our pastors as they continue to walk out the plans and purposes that you ordained for this ministry from day one. Thank you, Lord, for doing this in the precious name of Jesus. And as we've been taught, we will make sure that you get all the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Now, we never conclude a service without praying a prayer of salvation for someone out there listening who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so they'll be putting information up on the screen, but if you just pray this simple prayer and repeat this after me and say, "Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. And I believe that he was crucified, died, and buried, but he rose from the dead. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I repent and come into my heart. Thank you that I now have eternal life. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name." That simple prayer, that few words, took you, if you've never asked Jesus in your heart, that took you from darkness to light, from death to light, because your spirit is now born again. And we want to give you some free information. So if you look at the screen, you can contact us by mail, by phone, email, and we will get information to you and welcome you into the family of God.